Australia. Eddie Maguire, Will Anderson, Luke Darcy.
It's a team building exercise at the very least.
Triple M's Hot Breakfast.
This is great.
Everything Melbourne.
Triple M's Hot Breakfast, 21 minutes after 7, and one of the biggest stories of the year, I think, is the crash that happened in Ethiopia over the weekend. 149 passengers, 8 crew members were on flight ET302 from the Ethiopian capital, Nairobi, in Kenya, and to Nairobi in Kenya, rather, from Ethiopia. And it is the second Boeing 737 MAX 8 that has crashed in a number of months. Everyone in both planes have perished, Darcy. So this is a big problem. We decided to get on the line a man by the name of James Nixon. He's a former Emirates pilot, over 30 years of flying experience, author of The Crash of MH370. So full bottle on all these things, and he joins us on the line this morning. James, first of all, mate, you have flown out of Addis Ababa, which is the airport in Ethiopia. Can you give us a bit of an insight into what it's like to take off from that particular airport?
Good morning, guys, and this will be a bubble-free conversation. Yes, I flew out of Addis, or I flew there into and out of as an A330 and A340 pilot with Emirates for about 4 or 5 years before I went on to the A380. And this is one of the trickiest airports in the world. It's 7,600 feet above sea level, which is higher than Falls Creek. You know, it's pretty much higher than everything we've got in Australia. And the air molecules are very far apart, so the airplanes perform differently to they do on the ground. It's also pretty hot most of the time, and so you get even further increase in the what's called the density height. So the airplanes are performing like they're about 10,000 feet, which is good for flying in the sky, but it's tricky for manoeuvring. It makes turns wider when you're turning in the air, and also you're taking off and landing at higher actual speeds than you do down low. So it's a tricky destination. There's volcanoes around. It's next to the Rift Valley. So there's mountains very close to the airport. There's problems with huge birds, so much so that during the bird season, October, November, they have guys standing either side of the runway every 150 metres with big sticks, waving them around to stop the birds from congregating on the runway. But they still have quite a few bird strikes at that airport. Plus, you've got the temperature. Sometimes it's really hot, and it's all the complexities of flying in Africa. These guys, Ethiopian airline pilots, they're some of the very best in the world. In fact, one of their guys was hijacked 3 times. They had a big hijacking spree for a while in the early 90s, and this guy saved 50 people's lives when they crashed in the Comoros Islands. You may remember that incredible footage of the 767. Well, he's been hit in the neck with an axe when he was touching down, but he still managed to save 50 lives. Jeez. So these guys are very highly experienced. They're usually the launch customers of the new technology airplanes. It's a big airline. They were number 3 in the world to get the Dreamliner 787. They're the first airline outside of Japan that got it before United or any American airlines. So they're also the launch customer of the 737 MAX 8. In Africa as well.
Hey, James, can I focus a bit on that now, the 737 MAX 8? There's 350, I believe, flying around the world. 2 have crashed. Virgin on the local front here have got a whole heap of them on order. As a 30-year pilot, what do you think about the 737 MAX 8? Would you be jumping on one in the immediate future?
Not at the moment, no. Pilots are pretty cautious beings, and I'm one of them. And my attitude will be, until we find out what's going on with this, I wouldn't step on one. Jeez. They'll certainly fix it before Virgin pick up any airplanes in November. But in the meantime, it's been grounded in China, India, the Cayman Islands, Ethiopia, and
Not in America, where they're flying around everywhere.
Not in America. There's 22 airlines that have grounded already. I'd say it's going to be grounded very soon in America when they get the details from the black box, which was recovered yesterday. One of the good things about this crash is that it was crashed on ground very close to the city, so they got hold of the black boxes straight away, so there's no problem.
James, can I give you a lay version of, and then you explain it? My understanding is the 737 has been going since the 60s. It is one of the great planes. It is very safe and has been wonderful. But the MAX 8, it's a bit like hotting up your car and then suddenly it becomes a death machine because you've put too much into an old chassis, if you like. Is it fair to say that the MAX 8 has been tricked up to have fuel economy and all the add-ons, and in fact the software has now overridden a lot of that pilot intervention if things go wrong?
It's all about the cost of training, Eddie. They don't want to recertify this aeroplane because then it means that they have to put all the pilots through training courses. So what they do is they make these add-ons and you do these amendments to the original certification of 1967. And I'm calling, and a lot of other pilots are calling for, let's say, rule the line off now. Say the recertification has to complete. We have to get a brand new aeroplane recertified, which is what it is, really. And pilots are going to have to be trained properly.
Thanks, mate. James, bottom line is, you as a pilot for Emirates for over 30 years flying experience would not get on a 737 MAX 8 today.
Correct.
Thanks, mate. We really appreciate your time, James, and the author of the crash of MH370, James Nixon, joining us on Triple M's Hot Breakfast. After 7.30, Bridge Duclos is going to join us. We're going to speak to Marcus Bontempelli.